Kedushas. I'd like to talk about two similar cases, everyday cases, and halachical ramifications of them. The first case is a group of boys over Bar Mitzvah get together to play a game of football. They haven't got a ball, so they borrow a ball off a friend, let's call him Reuven. They borrow a ball off Reuven, and during the course of the game, as can happen, one of the boys, let's call him Shimon, kicks the ball into some bushes, and on impact it bursts. Is Shimon chayev to buy Reuven a new ball? So, first of all, if Shimon is in fact chayev to buy a ball, then it's definitely not going to be a new ball. Assuming that the ball which Reuven lent was a used ball, so the obligation to pay back can only be for the damaged item which was used at the time. Therefore, if it is he damaged a used ball, he only has to pay back the value of a used ball. However, there is a machlokes on this case of whether we apply the klal of misa machmas melacha. Misa machmas melacha literally means the case where you hire or borrow, let's say, a horse to take you on a trip, and the horse can't go the full distance, and therefore the horse dies on the way. So in such a case, even though we say that the shoel, someone who borrows something and isn't paying for it, is normally chayev even oinsim, that means if the animal would die mysteriously, he'd even be chayev to pay in such a case. However, if the animal wasn't able to do the purpose for which it was borrowed, then that's called misa machmas melacha, dying because of the work itself, and in such a case, halacha would be that the shoel or any other shomer for that matter would be potter from paying. Now the question is, when does this case apply? Now in Choshe Mishpat Simin Shin Mem, there's a machlekes between the Mechava and the Ramo. The Mechava holds like the opinion of the Trumas Hadeshin. So Trumas Hadeshin, there's a number of cases where this machlekes plays itself out. The easiest case that we can apply to here, and that is easy for us to understand, is the Trumas Hadeshin speaks about a case where a certain person was going to war. And to go to war, you need weapons, and he didn't have any weapons. So he went up to a friend of his, and he asked him if he could borrow some weapons. So his friend lent him the weapons, and then he went to war. And as does happen in war, some people win and some people lose. This time he lost. And when he got captured, his weapons got captured with him. So when eventually he was released, he came back to the person who lent him the weapons, and he said, "Listen, I'm sorry, when they released me, they didn't release the weapons, and therefore the weapons have gone." So the Trumas Hadeshin, since when a person goes to war, this is something which can happen. It's part and parcel of going to war. The one side wins, one side loses. And normally the person who loses, even if he does get released, he's not going to be given his weapons back. So therefore, when you lend a person weapons when he's going to war, he is not accepting upon himself the responsibility of returning these weapons if they get captured in war. That's the opinion of the Trumas Hadeshin. The Mechaber passes like this opinion. The Ramah argues, and the Shach passes like the Ramah, and the Shach explains the logic of the Ramah, and it's very understandable. Says the Shach, there is no circumstance where a shoel can assume that he's not responsible for the item which he's borrowed, unless he specifies specifically, I'm not going to be responsible. Like sometimes, for example, people ask to take packages, let them have a din of a shema. So if they don't want to have responsibility, they'll say, but I'm not mekabel achrayim. But if a person takes on the normal behavior of a shomer, they take an item to watch or they take an item to borrow, then they are achoy. They're responsible and they're liable for whatever might happen according to the level of their responsibility. Says the Shach, however, when do we say halacha or misa machas melacha? That is specifically in the case when the item which I'm giving is not able to carry out the purpose which is being borrowed. For example, like we said, the horse. If I borrow a horse, or let's say a modern day example, if I ask a friend if I can borrow a car to drive to Manchester, and the car itself, there's no way it will be able to make it to Manchester, or let's say the tyres itself, if I drive anything over 20, the tyres are going to burst. So since the normal method of driving a car isn't to stick to 20, especially if you're going to go on a motorway, so therefore, unless he tells me, by the way, you can borrow my car, but don't go over 20, if he doesn't warn me, says the Shach, then the owner is pesheya, the owner is negligent, because he's giving out an item to be used for a purpose which is not able to be used for, and therefore if something goes wrong, that's the problem of the owner, and therefore the shoel won't have to pay. However, says the Shach, if I give over a perfectly usable weapon, there's nothing wrong with this weapon whatsoever, to a person going to war, and he goes to war, and then in war he gets captured, and because he gets captured, his captors don't want to return the weapon, there's clearly no negligence on behalf of the owner. There's nothing wrong with this weapon, the gun works absolutely fine, The trouble was that circumstances, the way they played out, meant that the item wasn't returned. So the shach in such a case, of course, the shoel is responsible and will have to pay the owner back for the new weapon. So therefore, here in our case, pashtut, this would be the machlekes of Machaban Ramo. If a person, Reuven, lends a perfectly usable fugel, now the classic case, the mitzvah machas melacha, would be if you give over a fugel, and when it's kicked, when the foot kicks the ball bursts. That means the ball isn't usable for a game of football. So that l'kuli amo would be mitzvah machas melacha. If when a person kicks the ball at first, then it wasn't meant to be used for the game. So the owner had no business lending it out. And even if you say that, let's say the owner didn't realize this was the status of his ball, that it was a bit schwach at the moment and it needed pumping or whatever it might be, that's irrelevant. Ultimately, he lent out a ball which wasn't able to be used for the purpose to which it was borrowed, and therefore the halacha would be that the person borrowing it wouldn't have to pay. However, in our case, where there was nothing wrong with the ball, it was a perfectly usable, good football, just because the person kicked it into the bushes, as can happen, so the ball burst. In such a case, the mechaber would say, since when you lend the ball out, assuming that you know it's going to be played in an area where there are bushes, or if that's the norm, that there's a possibility it might be played in an area where there are bushes, so therefore you know when you lend out the ball, there's a possibility the ball is going to get burst in the process of the game. If that's so, it says the mechaber, the person who borrowed the ball was never accepting responsibility for such a thing happening. That's part and parcel, so to speak, included in normal uses of the ball, and the person won't have to pay. However, says the Ramah, says the Shach, it's not true. If I give over a perfectly usable football, I expect in return a perfectly usable football. And if the reason why the ball burst was not because there was any integral fault in the football itself, but because the people, during the course of the playing, they kicked it into a place where it burst on impact, therefore says the Shach, that's nothing to do with Mitzvah Maaseh from Melacha, and you'll have to pay. So here we have a machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramah. So what happens next? So even though in Issur Hetzer, for example, people have the minute to go like the Mechaber, Sazim and Noeg like the Mechaber, so they have to pass like the Mechaber. And when it comes to Ashkenazim and Noeg like the Ramah, they have to go like the Ramah. And Ashkenazim won't be able to go like the Mechaber, and Sazim won't be able to go like the Ramah. That's certain exceptions. However, when it comes to Chesh and Mishma, when it comes to monetary matters, this halacha does not apply. In Chesh and Mishma, there's a very interesting klal called Kimli. Kimli basically originates from the klal which everybody knows. When it comes to monetary matters, we say, Hamaytzi mechaveri olav araya. If I want to take money away from you, then I have to bring a proof that I've got right to this money. When it comes to machlekes, for example, like the Mechaber and Ramah, so either side are entitled to say, prove to me that the person who's holding on to the money, who you want to make money from him, he's allowed to say, prove to me that halacha isn't like the Mechaber or like the Ramah. There are certain exceptions. If, for example, you go to a Bezdin that is dealing in an exclusively Sfaradi Kehillah, and it's a Sfaradi Bezdin dealing with a Sfaradi claimant, so then neither side will be able to say, Kimli like the Ramah. Because since it's understood, they only passed in like the Mechaber, they don't have that option. However, if, for example, a place like here in London, where we have a Botidinim which serves all walks of society, all types of people, all different minhagim, so therefore, either side can say Kimli like the Mechaber, like the Ramah. Ashkenazim can say Kimli like the Mechaber, and Sfaradim can say Kimli like the Ramah. That being the case, in our case here, Reuven is claiming back he wants the football from Shimon, he wants him to buy it, pay him back the value of the football. Shimon is allowed to say, no, Kimli like the Mechaber, according to the Mechaber. This is called Mitzvah Machas Melacha, and either I'm saying Kimli. However, one shouldn't forget that if, for example, Reuven was holding on to some money of Shimon, he'd be able to say, I'm holding on to this money because I hold Kimli like the Ramah, according to Ramah, you owe me this money, so I'm holding on to this money for the ball. One also shouldn't forget that here, the case between who's holding the money or not isn't just between Reuven and Shimon, because clearly all the other people involved in the game were also borrowing the ball. Now the fact is, they weren't responsible for kicking it into the bushes, but nevertheless, all of them have a din of a shoel. All of them are borrowing the ball. Now halacha is by a shoel that if you're not exempt because of mitzvah machas melacha, then you have to pay back the ball. So between them, they have to make sure that they only get the value of the ball. That would mean that if Reuven was holding on to the money of any one of the players in the game, not specifically Shimon, he'd be able to say, listen, I lend you a ball, prove to me that you don't have to pay me back for the ball, and therefore I'm holding on to this money. That would be the first case. The second case, slightly different, slightly more complicated, is the same scenario. A group of boys get together to play a game of football. But here, Reuven, the owner of the ball, joins in the game. He comes to play as well, he brings his ball. Two boys get together, one of them brings the ball. So let's call him Reuven. Reuven brings his ball. They're playing in the game, and the same thing happens. Shimon kicks the ball into the bushes and it bursts on impact. So now what's the halacha? So obviously, that which we already established in the first scenario would apply in the second scenario. Since, according to the Mechaber, this would be called Nisa Machas Malacha, this would be called damage due to normal use, which is not, the Shem is not obliged to pay for. So therefore, according to the Mechaber, he's not had to pay. So Shimon will be able to say to Reuven, I'm sorry, I'm not paying. Kimli like the Mechaber. However, like we said, if Reuven will be holding on to money of Shimon's or any of the other players, then he'll be able to say, no, I'm taking that money. Kimli like the Amor. However, here there's another factor which has to be borne in mind. There's a halacha called Baal of Imri. Baal of Imri literally means the owner is with him. Now, contrary to how some people mistakenly understand this halacha, it doesn't mean any time a person borrows or becomes a shomer on something and the bailov, the owner, is with him, that will exempt him from any obligation. That's not what it means. The halacha is that if a shomer or a shoel, someone who's borrowing or watching over something, begins his shmira at the time when the owner of the item is doing work for him or doing even a favor for him or doing an act that's beneficial to him, then there's no obligation of shmira. Example given, one of the examples given of just how little you can get away with of the act is that the Gemara says that if a person wants to become a shema, let's say I want to borrow a sefer, so when I'm about to borrow a sefer, I should ask the owner to bring me a drink. And if at the time when I'm borrowing the sefer, the owner brings me a drink, so he's doing an act for me. If he doesn't act for me, then I have no obligation of shmira whatsoever. A more practical modern day example would be, if for example you're borrowing a car for a friend to go on a trip, so if the friend helps you load the luggage into the car while you're borrowing that car, so then the beginning of the shmira is happening when you're taking the car, and at the time of the beginning of shmira the friend is doing work for you, he's loading up the suitcases into the car, so in such a case the halacha will be that it's baal of imrei and there's no obligations of shmira on the shema. That means that he'll be positive for pain. Now, how much would he be positive for pain? So let's see. The Rambam in Hilchos Pius Peg Base brings down that even though a Shema is positive for paying for Geneva and for Aveda, the Rabbi says the Rambam, if a person is a shemet socher, he is potter for paying for gnev and avedim, he'll be potter for paying for these. However, pause on this one for a second. The halacha is that you're potter for paying for gnev and avedim, and you're potter for paying even for pshir. You're potter for paying even for pshir. That means if a person was, let's say, negligent with the car, and let's say he left the doors open while he's borrowing this car, and then someone will come in and steal the car, then the halacha will be, since at the time when he borrowed the car, the bailov was working for him, the owner was working for him, he was loading the suitcases into the car, so the halacha will be, he'll be possibly exempt from pain. However, what happens in our case here with the football? In the case of the football, Reuven is playing in the game. Now, if you understand how football works, every player there needs the other players there to be there in the game, right? It's not only that when I'm kicking the ball, I'm using it, and when you kick the ball, you're using it, and I'm not using it. Whoever is kicking the ball is using it, and whoever isn't kicking the ball but is taking part of the game, they're also involved in the game. If you ask any one of them what they're doing, even if they're not kicking the ball, they'll tell you, I'm playing football. So therefore, all of them are showing in even when they're not using it, and the owner himself also requires the other people to be there for the benefit of his own game. So he's doing work for them because he's playing in their game and they're supposed to be doing work for him. The fact that they're doing work for him is not relevant here. They're a shoel. But the fact that he's doing work for them, that he's playing in their game, that makes it baal of imrei. That would seem to make it baal of imrei. In which case, when Shimon kicks the ball into the bushes, then he's bursting the ball, so he should be potter from pain. Because like we said, baal of imrei, the shoel is potter from pain. However, there is an opinion who wants to say that since we have a halacha, and the whole tour of baal of imrei only exempts you from your responsibilities as a shomer. In other words, when you become a shomer, you borrow something, or you take something to look after, or you hire something, you accept upon yourself a certain level of responsibility. That level of responsibility doesn't apply when there's baal of imrei, for whatever reason it is. However, if a person's mazik, let's take our case of the car, right? A person borrows the car. At the time of borrowing the car, the owner loads up the suitcases into the car, so you have a p'tur balov imi. Does that mean that if the person borrowing the car rams the car intentionally into a wall, he's now going to be potter from paying? Oh, balov imi, chas v'sholom. Why not? Because that's mazik. And mazik, you can never be potter from paying mazik. If you do an act of wanton damage, then you have to pay the consequences. And the whole hefa of balov imi is only going to excuse you from the responsibility which you would have as a shomer. So a shomer normally is hired to pay for Geneva, for Haveda. If he's a shomer, he's going to have to pay for Oinsim. But mazik is a separate thing. Mazik is not something he's hired because he's a shomer. Mazik is something which every Jewish person is responsible for their actions, of the mud la'olam. And if you do an act of damage, then you have to pay. You have to pay for the damage which you've inflicted. So therefore, there's an opinion that wants to say, in this case here, when Shimon kicks the ball into the bushes and it bursts on impact, so he's done an act of damage. He's damaged someone else's ball. If, for example, they'd be playing in the game, and now a guy would come along and steal the ball, so then the other people would be able to turn around to him and say, you're right, we're a shul. If we're shulim, then normally a shul is definitely chayav for geneva. But here, because you're here with us in the game, so therefore it's balov imo. You're doing work for us as well, you're playing in the game for us, so it's balov imo. So therefore we're potter from paying. However, here, in a case where you kick the ball into the bushes, so he's done an act of damage, he's burst my ball. So then, the whole hefta balov imo shouldn't apply.
Even accidentally?
So again, to come on. This opinion wants to say, even accidentally, because we have a halacha, the other mud loilam. If I'm accidentally I reverse my car into someone else's, that's not a talk from pain. I did the damage, I have to pay. So this opinion wants to say that here as well, accidentally isn't absorbed by mazik, and therefore you should have to pay. However, if we have a look at this Rambam, the Rambam here for skewers peg base. The Rambam brings down that there's a halacha in shemim, that even though normally we say shemim have an obligation, when it comes to karka and shtoris, we'll deal with karka. When it comes to property, to land, halacha is ein shmir v'karka. Ein shmir v'karka would mean that if, let's say, I lend out my house to somebody, and while the person's in the house, damage is done to the walls of the house, but not intentional damage. Let's say a child spills something on the walls, or let's say the walls get dirty because I have a fire there, and the fire makes the walls black, whatever it might be. So halacha there is ein shmir v'karka. There's no responsibilities of a shemir when it comes to karka. So learn that from Gzeirat HaKosef. However, says the Rambam in Pekdis, Avol im posho chayav v'shalim. However, if I'm negligent, then I'm chayav to pay. Why? Says the Rambam, shechol ha'pesheya mazik. Because whoever is negligent is tantamount to damage, to doing an actual hazard. So an example, let's say, if I borrow someone's house, and I leave the front door open, and a vandal comes in and he sprays graffiti all over the walls. So am I chayav to pay or not? So Pashtus one would say, ain't shmir b'karka, potter from paying. However, says the Rambam, since that's gross negligence, you shouldn't, you've got no business, I give you a house. I'm doing you a favor, I lend you my house, so you should make sure you lock the door. If you leave the door open, someone comes in and damages it, that's like mazik. It's as if you yourself went and sprayed the wall, graffiti on the walls, and you're chayav to pay. However, the rivers here argue, and the rivers says that it's not true. Shia and mazik are two separate things. What is Raya? His Raya is from Ahalocha of Balav Imri. Says the rivers, when it comes to balav imay, if a person is pesheya, he's negligent when the owner is doing work for him, then he's exempt from paying, he's potter from paying. However, if he does a damage, he does a wanton act of hezek, then he's not potter from paying. Says the rivers, so we can clearly see that mazik and pesheya are not the same thing. Therefore, says the rivers, when it comes to this gezeirat hakosev, the ein shmir b'karka, that would mean if I'm negligent and I leave the front door open and someone comes in and sprays graffiti, I'm potter from paying. I was negligent, so I never was responsible in the first place since ein shmir b'karka. However, if I myself would go and spray graffiti on the walls when I'm borrowing a house, then of course I'm going to have to pay. Because hezek you paid for, there's no exemption for hezek just because of balav imun. The Mishnah Melech asked the kasha on this rival. The Mishnah Melech asked from the Rambam, and here was issues. Nirchus Ishus has a very interesting practical halacha. The Rambam says, Ha'isha Shishiba Kalim. If a woman at home, a wife, is busy, let's say, doing the washing up, and by mistake she drops the plate and the plate breaks. Says the Rambam, if a woman while she's doing the regular chores in the house breaks the kli, she breaks the plate, for example, then she's potter. Says the Rambam, there ain't there minadin. This isn't minadin. Minadin, she should pay. She breaks the plate, it's my plate, the husband owns all the items in the house, the wife should pay. There's the Rambam, some minadin. And a takona. The takona, why? Shim ain't after oimakein, if we wouldn't have this takona, ain't shalom b'soich habayis loilom. There'd never be any peace in the house. Why not? And an insat, and heres, and zat, and muroikam, lochis, and soif, ktosab in here. She's not only going in the house because she's going to be scared. She's going to walk around. By mistake, I might break this. By mistake, I might make this mark here. And that's it. I'm going to stay here and I'll go out shopping. I'm safe. So this way, it says, remember, we make a takana. No, don't worry. Even though I'll be zing your chayv. But we say, no, you don't have to pay. It's okay. Says the rabbi, I don't understand. Why are you saying that your potter from paying at a takana, but I zing your chayv to pay? I zing your potter from paying. Why? Says the rabbi, because every wife has a psor of Baal of Imur. Why should I have a psor of Baal of Imur? Because since every husband is obliged to provide the means for his wife, so therefore a husband is constantly, when he's not home, he is working for his wife. So therefore if he's working for his wife, there's a psor of Baal of Imur. There's a rival, so I don't understand. Why do you have to come onto goodwill gestures of takonas? I mean, nothing. Every wife is going to be exempt. The Mishnah Melech asks, he doesn't understand. He says, it's a steer. If a wife is holding a plate, and she drops the plate by mistake, so she's done an act of hazard. She's been mugged with your plate. What would happen if I'm in your house and I drop your plate? So I broke your plate, I have to pay. Right? So here, this isn't a case of shmir. Says the Mishnah Melech, this is a case of one of hazard. It's a mitzvah hazard. And therefore, if it's a case of hazard, so the rivals in Hilchus, in the rivals in Hilchus Chiyu says, that which we say is shmir of a bailim is only when it comes to pshia, up to pshia. However, hazard, that's not covered by shmir of a bailim. So hazard, you're going to have to pay. Therefore, says the Mishnah Melech, the rivals himself, has argued with the Rambam and Hilchos Chiyus. The Rambam says that when it comes to Hezek, there's no exemption of Baal of Imri. So therefore, how come over here the Rambam is turning around and saying the wife is going to be possible because Baal of Imri? Says the Mishnah Melech, the Chiddush. That which we say that is an act of Hezek, an act of Hezek is only if she did it intentionally. If a wife gets in a rage and she smashes a plate, that's an act of Hezek. However, if a wife, while she's busy washing up, she drops a plate, says the Rambam, that's not called Hezek. That's called pshia. That's called negligence. And therefore, since it's pshia, it's covered by Baal of Imur. Now, this needs explanation. We have our halacha, which we said earlier, that other mood l'olam. A person is always considered a mood. A person is always considered chayv to pay for the damages which he does. So if a person is other mood l'olam, so the Mefarshim asked, Machnefayim asks on this Mishnah Melech, other mood l'olam. So how come the Mishnah Melech is coming along and starts differentiating? He did it on purpose, he did it by mistake. It doesn't matter whether he did it on purpose, he did it by mistake. If he did an act of hazard, you have to pay. So what's pshat in the Mishnah Melech? So Machnefayim and Avi Nezer and others explain like this. If, for example, I go into an antique shop and I pick up an expensive vase to study it, and I'm turning it around, beautiful vase, and it smashes. I drop, smashes. So then I have to pay. That's called act of hazard. I had no particular rishut to touch the vase. I was touching it at my own risk, right? Sometimes they even display signs, you know, what will happen if you smash the vase. But without a sign, if I touch it, I'm touching it at my own risk. So if I drop it, then I was mugging the vase, I have to pay. However, there's the Machne Fayim. If I have rishut, if I'm cleaning up this vase for the owner, right, the cleaner in the house, and every week she went to clean this vase, she's cleaning up this vase, and during the case of her cleaning, she drops the vase and it smashes. That's not called the act of hazard. Since you're entitled to be holding it, or to be using it, that's part and parcel of what you're meant to be doing. Therefore, what it's called is negligence. You should have taken greater care. But that's not called hazard. You had no intention to be mazik. You had the right to be using it in the first place. Therefore, that's not called hazard. That's called pshia. And therefore, since it's called pshia, so if you have an exemption of Baal of Imri, then you're going to be potter. So that's pshat in the Raga. The Raga says that since we say it's Baal of Imri, by every wife it's Baal of Imri, so anything she breaks during the case of her using is going to be Baal of Imri. How do we paskin? Now, very strange, in Chayish Shemishvot, in all of our halachas dealing with Shomim, this halacha is not brought up, whether we paskin that it's rivaled or not. However, if you go to Eben Ezra Simon Pei, in Eben Ezra it brings down this halacha of a wife is exempt from paying for damages she does during her normal chores in the house. Doesn't mention whether it's a takana, doesn't mention whether it's a halacha. Pashas doesn't make a difference. Now the halacha is like that, so that's the halacha. In fact, the halacha brings down that, Be'ah Gola brings down that the source of this halacha is from the Rajva. The Rajva, by the way, happens to hold like the Rambam, that it's a takona for Shalom Bayis. But as far as halacha goes, There's no nafkamina in this halakha in Ebenezer what the reason is, and therefore you can't take anything out from the mechaber. However, interestingly, the Pesukei Teshuva has two words. It says Ayin Marit. Now, we're looking at Marit. The Marit brings down the Teshuva of a wife who, by mistake, set fire to her husband's haystack. A few years afterwards, the couple got divorced. And when the couple got divorced, so the husband paid out the ksuba in full. And then he realized, oh, my wife, but my haystack. I never was asked her for money then because she was my wife. So I have one pocket into the next and we'll go back out again. But hey, now that she's divorced, she owes me that money, I want her to pay. So they came to Marit and said, you know, can she pay out for the haystack? Marit says she's possibly from paying for the haystack. Why? Now Marit doesn't speak out the Rambam's opinion, but I would assume that the Rambam's halacha is a takana in the normal chores in the house we have to exempt the wife from, because otherwise she's not going to do them. But I assume in that scenario the normal chores in the house didn't necessarily go so far as having anything to do with haystack, and therefore the takana didn't apply. If she'd go and burn a haystack, as far as the takana would be, he wouldn't impose the takana and she'd have to pay. However, says the Marit, we have a river, and the river says that you're possible from paying in such a case Melzim because of Bala Bimun. Says the Marit, what's pshat? Like we explained, that for Shegeg you're possible made the Jachayat. So therefore, says the Marit, since this wife, she was entitled to be where she was, doing whatever she was with the haystack, but it might not necessarily have been a chore. So therefore, the halacha is, like the Ravid, you have to come on to the Ravid's chiddush, that in such a case, if it's b'shege, then it's called pshia, it's not called mazik. And if it's called pshia, then the halacha is that Baal of Imma will be a tzur, and therefore the Marit says, the wife doesn't have to pay for the haystack. Pashas, what this means is, if the Pesukei Teshuva brings this halacha, all he brings is this Marit. Pashas, that means the Pesukei Teshuva is passing like this Marit, which means he's passing like the Ravid. So if now we come back to our case, in the case of the football, so what should seem to happen is like this. Reuven's there with Shimon during the game, with everyone else in the game, there's a tour of Baal of Imut. So when Shimon now kicks the ball into the bushes, he's clearly not doing it with the intention of bursting the ball because he wants to be able to carry on playing the game, unless he's losing. But so now when he kicks it into the ball, so that's an act of Shia. So since he's completely entitled to use this ball, that's what he's there for. He's there to play with the ball. So therefore, when he kicks it into the bushes, all it is an act of pshia. If all it is an act of pshia, so since there's a tzur of balav imay, he'll be posted from pain. However, and therefore, if he's posted from pain, obviously all the other shalim will be posted from pain. So therefore, it would come out that if a person brings a ball to a game and he's playing with everybody else, and the ball gets kicked into a place where it bursts on impact, the halacha will be pashas that everyone is posted from pain, and Reuven will have to buy himself a ball. However, this won't apply if there's a minig. If there's a standard minig that people who play football know that the person brings the ball and something happens to the ball, then you have to pay for it. Whoever does it has to pay for it. So obviously the minig would override the halacha, because al das king, you enter the game, everybody knows that if you ever burst the ball, it's going to have to pay. So if you burst the ball, then you're definitely going to have to pay. However, this all these halachas are talking about, well, there's no minig, people get together, there's no general understanding before the game, they're just getting together for a kick around, and this is what happens, the ball bursts and you have to pay. I would like just to say that if, for example, someone will kick the ball into a tree, and there in the tree it can be reached with difficulty, then the halacha might be slightly different. It might be even better, because it might be worse. On Mitzad Echot, the ball hasn't been damaged, so you haven't got the psur of Baal of Imma because it hasn't been damaged. Like every shale, even if Baal of Imma, you have to return the item, right? If I borrow the car, it's filled, the owner helps me fill out with luggage and I go off on a trip. So I don't have to return the car because Baal of Imma. Of course not. You have to return the car. Ultimately, when you borrow it, you have to give it back. So here, I'm not returning the ball. The ball's absolutely fine. It's stuck up in a tree. So Mitzad Echot, it's worse because I'm going to have to return the ball. It's Shani, according to certain opinions, which unfortunately we haven't got time for now, there are opinions which can say that you can say, here's your ball, it's in absolutely fine condition, and have a good day.